Amen. All right, let's get in on this. Matthew's gospel, right? And we are looking at conversations around the gospel. Now, I want to reiterate what Dr. just said now, and it's very practical. And he lets us see something that doing the word is a practical thing. Doing the word is a practical thing. In James 1:16 says, don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of light. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He says, therefore, laying aside all filthiness as part of nothingness 21, and receive with meekness the engrafted word is able to save your soul. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, the word deceiving your own selves, there is a Greek word that means to act beside yourself, paralogizomai, which means that you are acting a scene, like you are play acting. So every time a believer is not acting on God's word, he's acting beside himself. That's not who you are. It says, deceiving yourself. But he that hears the word and doesn't do it, likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror, straightway goeth his way, and forget the manner of man that he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, the man is blessed in his own deed. So there's an emphasis there on doing. Now, doing is a Greek word praso. P-A-R-S-O. It's not unconscious. Praso is an action you take deliberately. So like Doctor said, if you go to church, you take notes. What did I learn? Information. The scripture. What's the correction? There must be something you are corrected about as well. What's the correction? Be very specific. Then, what is the instruction? Then, what am I doing after now? Don't just say, I was blessed. That is a proof that you are not blessed. I was blessed is not a statement of understanding. And don't forget, in the parable of the sower, Jesus gave four scenarios. He said the first scenario was the one that fell by the wayside. I remember Charles Capps, spoke about this one, and it got my attention. Charles Capps used to be one of Brother Higgins' guys then in the 80s and 90s. And he said that we should pay attention to that first soil, that Satan came immediately because the man did not understand. Immediately. He did not understand it. Now, look at the fact that he came immediately. That means it can be during the service or just at the car park. The second soil, he said it was on the hard ground. Those are the ones that rejoice. Whoo, glory, hey. He said, but the moment affliction and persecution arose for the word's sake, they became offended and, they didn't bear fruit. The third, he says now, the third, I suggest that third is likely a believer. The parables of Jesus are interesting. You may see them all as believers today and they are not believers tomorrow. But the third soil was the one that fell amongst thorns. Now, that's a very, very important one. He now says he fell among thorns. And he said, when he was going to describe that one, he said it fell on the earth, on the soil, but could not bear fruit. Why? Because of the presence of deceitfulness of riches and lust of this world. Now, sometimes you wonder why a Christian exposed to God's word in a church like this, where you are taught, you have information everywhere. Why am I not making impact? So why is the word not making impact? Well, have you checked what is in your soil? Sometimes we have loaded our minds. And the Greek word that he used there, when he said that, they choked the word. The word was there. In fact, Luke used it again for when you squeeze it, it's there, but it just can't function. That's why I submit that must be a believer, because the word is there, it's not just bearing fruit. And we know we can have a fruitless believer. John 15, right? Every branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away to take care of it. That's what it means. And Paul will pray that we be fruitful, which means that if I have to pray for you to be fruitful, that means you can also be unfruitful. Okay, so now that thought soil has so many things in it. And many of us need to pay attention to that. Why is it that the world is not growing? Look at the number of things that are already in your mind. Let's calculate how many hours we spend with the word in a day. You come for first service and everything ends in 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Then pastor teaches for 1 hour, 30 minutes. That's 90 minutes. You are gone. You try and catch up on radio and catch up on TV, maybe another 1 hour. So you have 2 hours, 30 minutes. Then on Monday, you struggle to watch one thing for 30 minutes. And you know, sometimes it's actually a struggle. They go throughout the week like that. By the time you calculate the number of hours you spent with the word the whole week, you are going to barely get 10 hours. Now, that whole week has the minimum, I can't remember that. 168 hours, of which barely 5% you spent hearing the word. And when you were hearing the word in church, your mind sometimes could be elsewhere. Now, consider, put that vis-a-vis the fact that your phone is always with you. The world is at your beck and call. You watch things, you're on Netflix, you're on Amazon Prime, Ibaka TV, Iroko TV, Mango TV, DSTV is there for you 24 hours. It can keep you busy. Do you understand? You have that, then you have friends using, you have WhatsApp, you have Twitter, you have TikTok, you have, TikTok, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, I mentioned that. Is there another one? Telegram. And they are creating something every day to seize your attention. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, they say pay attention. Because attention is actually pricey. You pay it. Anything you give your attention to, right, takes your being. So, you now wonder, why is the world not growing? Now look at how many hours are just amassed. Vis-a-vis the number of hours you spent in the word. The truth of the matter is that many of us do not look out for the thorns and the weeds that are present, such that they are rivaling, and contesting with the word that we have heard. So you must say, what is the correction? Then you go from there. You say, what is the instruction? There are two different things. Then, what am I going to do? Be specific. On Monday. On Tuesday. On Wednesday. What am I going to do about it? I remember somebody came to me and was going to have a surgery. And he said that, okay, wanted to receive divine healing. So I said, look at Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep the news of heart, help them from your eyes, for they are life to those who find them and medicine. I said, so you can apply the word like medicine. So I looked at her, I said, you see, are you serious about divine healing? She said, yes. Now, you will have to be very serious. That is, you will know what you are going to do every day about your healing. So pick out the time where you will focus on it and you will feed on it. You may have to deactivate some apps. You may have to, because some of the times you are believing God for healing, then you are watching a movie, and then they just elaborate on sickness. Except you are not a human being, it will affect you. You get what I'm talking about here? So I said you may have to deactivate, and you will be very practical about it. Very, very practical on a daily basis. Feed on the word of God. That is actually how to act on the word. You have to take conscious steps. The scriptures, the meditation. Meditation is an active thing. Joshua 1:8, day and night. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, day and night. 1 Timothy 4:15, give yourself wholly to them, that your prophecy may appear to all. Mark 4:24. The measure of thought that you give to something and study is a measure of virtue that is returned back to you. So you have to be deliberate. You will think about it, you will meditate upon it, then you will observe to act on it. So, like this conference too, you must be particular. And not just this conference, virtually every time you hear God's word, you cannot unconsciously. Some people say that even when I'm asleep, my spirit is hearing the word. Have you heard that nonsense before? You are asleep. You say you are playing the teaching. It's hearing into your spirit. Who is deceiving you? How? Even the one that you are awake, you are struggling to hear it. Then you are now sleeping. You say your spirit. It's not spirit, it's Obanji. Deceiving yourself. You must be conscious about your acting on God's word. Hope that's clear. Now, in Matthew, we looked at two things. And I believe by now you know why I built it up that way. Who's following it? Now, one of the ways we also learn, you learn not just the teaching, it is also how it is explained. See how I started. I started by looking at Jesus as God, remember? But I purposely did not focus on it. Because that is not the essence of this teaching. We are looking at practical ministry. If I focus on Jesus' deity, it will distract the teaching. Are you following that? I'm talking like this because it's school of ministry. You must always know that there's no sermon you can say everything. Don't fall into the temptation of saying everything. In fact, what I do, I've said it, and somebody said, I noticed it. I said, I deliberately don't say everything about any subject in any teaching. I'll deliberately leave it out. Then I'll go to another series entirely that may even have nothing to do with that subject. Then I'll now explain what I left behind so that I will know who is really listening to follow. So in case you are listening to me for a subject, you will enter express. I'll make sure you are confused. I do it deliberately. So that you are, if you really want to study God's word, you study God's word. Now you want to hear something, I will leave something and I'll go somewhere else and explain it. So I say, oh, what is it? I say, go and listen to this one. I say, hey. And so it's in that one. I know that by the time you listen to that one, you have gone. I will tell you where it's. I don't say which minute. It's not minute, it's second. You go and listen well. So I'm saying that you must be deliberate about how you preach. Know what you will not say. So why did we focus? Notice that on the very first day, we looked at Jesus as God in the Old Testament. But you know, I gradually reduced that tone. Who noticed it? Very well. I gradually did that tone because that is not the emphasis. You cannot learn discipleship by focusing on the deity of Jesus. Is that clear? If we're going to talk about something else, maybe believers' authority, maybe the power of God, we may focus on that. But that is not the focus. So, run away from temptation, saying everything in a teaching. Do you know that there is no Paul's epistle where he taught everything there? None. It is what is needed at that time. What was the question they asked him? What was the answer he gave them? Are you here? Aha. You know, at the earlier stage of ministry, one wants to say everything he knows. Then you say you don't have time. You now invite, you say, you now be manipulating the host. I wish I had more time. Say what you want to say and get out. What do you mean about more time? Who's going to give you more time? Is it eternity you want to use? If you give it 30 minutes, use it and get out. A friend gave me an invitation to preach. I think it was 98. And he said to me that, he said I was going to use 30 minutes. I said, no problem. No. I think he gave me 45 minutes. By the time I was coming for the meeting, he said 30 minutes. I said, no problem. So when I got to the meeting, he now said 15 minutes. I think he heard something about me that was a heretic. I've been called a heretic for many years. I can't even remember a year I wasn't called a heretic. I think he's just an alias. So I think he had heard it, but he didn't want to take away the invitation. So he kept reducing that his heresy will not. So he kept reducing the time. So he now said, Shagun, on the pulpit, 7 minutes. Now he thought I was going to that they have collected mine from me as I was preaching. This is even a better option. So, this is not, there's no problem. Do you know in the 7 minutes, I got people filled with the Holy Ghost? People healed when I preached. He now called me back for their convention. He didn't confess what was wrong. Well, I could see on his face he was dazed. At least give me the opportunity. Just give me the microphone. Whatever you have heard, you won't hear it. I don't defend myself. If you say I'm a heretic, so I heard you're a heretic, you are correct. I heard you preach that Jesus is not Lord, you might be correct. I heard you must be daft. You heard. Can't you hear it yourself? Eh? Did they take your hair to laundry? Hear it yourself now. Right? Go and hear it yourself. So, you must run away from the temptation of saying everything. They asked you a question on tongues. Stay with tongues. Don't talk about eternal salvation. Do you understand? But when you are in the local assembly where you pastor, that one, you can decide to say something to get them to think. They are coming back next week. Right? It's those online that are confused. And you are not their pastor. Do you get it? Those are the ones that are confused. So you say, he said something. Come to the service. And come and go through what we are going through. We sat down for prayer. We sat down for worship. You sat down in your house. You are not saying he said, come and go through everything. By the time you have prayed and you have worshipped, that stupidity will have left your brain when the pastor is preaching. Amen. How did I get here? That I deliberately did not focus on the deity of Jesus because of the subject matter. Now, in Matthew 1:1, we said that Matthew focused, he spoke about Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then in Matthew 22, verse 42, Jesus asked the Pharisees the question, the Christ, whose son is he? And they said, David. He said, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, I make him who's to. If he is his son, how is he his son? And I said in the morning, you must be able to say how. How? Tongues edifies. How? It just edifies, not only. How? How is he his son? So, conclusion matters a lot, but how did you get there? How did you? You know all this, you know what, I mean, have you done jam blessing for anybody before? Jam, yeah. And you just ask, how did you get this answer? The guy has gone to buy past question, and he has gotten the hair, come and explain it. He go go look. How? So in Matthew 28 and 20, in fact 18, he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to you. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. That's what teach them. Baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always at the end of the day. Now, we said earlier that shows that he is God. It's not like saying, I dare with you. I remember when I was in secondary school, I was a prefect, so we had this thing with the school authorities. I was always writing petition. My nickname was Radical. So, I used to cause demonstrations. In fact, one time, the principal called my dad and said, this is your son, a human rights activist. I said, but you know, that we grew up in the military era. I said, you know his military era. I said, you have to preserve his life. I said, his mouth is very sharp. I will write the principal letter. So we will do those kind of things and cause riot. But there was one like that. Don't let me expose myself. But. So, now, we have some guys said, no, we said we're going to go and riot on something. Now we're going to go meet the principal. And we're going to talk to him about food in the boarding house. You know, I was asking for the head of our fish. I mean, if you have been to Bonnet, you know we don't see it. We don't see the head of our fish. My dad said, I went to that same school. Nobody asked for it. What did you think? And you asked for the head of your fish. I'd asked about the head of my fish in my form one. Nobody answered. I wrote an article. Nobody answered. So when I became a preacher, I now officially asked, where is the head of our fish? And the head plenty. Who is keeping it? Do you know that I eventually got them to appoint a student representation whenever they are buying food, how they cook it? No, I fought well. So when we were going to fight, then the boys in the body now said, Oh no, press. They also call me press man. Say, press, we're there with you, go. So that's how we went to the principal. By the time the principal threatened us, who are you? Then the former governor of Oyo State was there. So who are you? Who are you? By the time we got to the boarding house, it was like rapture. All the boys had fled. I dare with you. I dare with you. They are hearing me. If they are watching, they know what I'm saying. I dare with you. There's only one guy, a very hefty guy. Now he first run. I dare with you. I dare with you. I dare with you. You understand? So when Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you," it's not "I dare with you." I dare with you. I dare with you. I dare your side. I dare your side. It means I am practically where you are. It's only God that can really deal with you. Do you understand? That's why people will cry. Have you seen funeral ceremonies? People will cry and cry and cry. And they will still dance in the afternoon. They will still eat. There was one woman like that went for one wake up. She was crying about her friend. Mama John. So the person serving drinks now served that spirit. My son is coke. He's coke. So it's only Jesus that is with you always. Amen. So when he says, "Lo, I am with you," he's speaking literally, not figuratively. If me, I say I'm with you, you know, it can be figurative. You can't call me and say, "Where am I? Where am I? I'm in my house now." But "Lo, I'm with you" is practically with you. And it's only God that can make that statement. If Moses says it, he's whining you. He dey whine. If Peter says it, he's coping you. It's only God who can say it. I dare say, if God as a man, Jesus, said it, he's also scoping you. You can only be at one place at a time. So that statement affirms that he is who? God. Is that clear? Good. So in Mark's Gospel 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, he affirms his humanity. In Mark's Gospel 16:19, he said he went up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth everywhere, verse 20, and the Lord walking with. You can't use that for a human being. Walking with and confirming the signs following. So again, he establishes his humanity and his divinity. Luke's Gospel 25-27. We said in verse 49, he said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, and you will power from on high." Establishes his deity. In John's Gospel 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was the God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, so he calls him God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh, and dwelt amongst us. That is a human being. John 20:22. Jesus came and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And we said that word "breathe" is exactly what happened in Genesis 2:7. If I'm more than that, if I could stretch that a little bit. In Ezekiel 37, when the Lord took Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bones, "Can these dry bones live?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest." That's a smart answer. If God asks you a question, say, "You know." That's a very smart person. He said, "Okay, prophesy upon this dry bones and cause my breath," the breath, "to enter." In Ezekiel 7 verse 9, it says, "O breath, O wind from four corners, come in, breathe in." That is the same word in John 20:22, and the same word in Genesis 2 verse 7. So which means that John is saying that Jesus of Nazareth is God. In fact, in John 20:29, he does something, and it was E.W. Kenyon that made me see it, that you may not observe what happened. When Thomas touched him, he said, "My Lord, my God." That statement conferred on Jesus again the status of deity. Do you understand that? Are you here? Now, without said that, Jesus gave a great commission. Make disciples of all nations. Let's look at the life of just a little bit. I showed it in the morning that in Luke 2, Jesus was human. He was very human. Luke 2:40 said he grew in wisdom. God does not grow. It's a human being that grew. He grew in wisdom, which means that he grew in God's word. The way you are seated today and knowing who you are in Christ and God's purpose and plan is the way Jesus, God as a man, learnt it. And in a practical way, we saw him in the temple among the doctors of the law. He sat down. He was asking them questions. And they were astonished, verse 47, at the answers that he provided. Which means that we can see the pattern. Notice that Luke now uses seated for two other people. Now, in Luke 10, that should be about verse 38. He showed us, and 39, he showed us there was someone else called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Earlier on in that chapter, there was a man of Gadara who, when he was cured, also sat down. So the word sat down is actually how you are trained and discipled and taught. So by saying that Jesus sat down with the doctors of the law in Luke 2, 46 and 47, is practically saying that Jesus was also taught. Are you here? Okay. He was also taught. Now I'm going to say something along the line shortly, and you must pay attention to it. Because it's critical to something we want to see. He was also taught. Now, in Luke 2:52, he grew in stature. Those are phrases. Now, I believe something, for example, that definitely Mary was one of the people that gave Luke the accounts. Mary, as his mother, practically saw him grow in knowledge. You know, your mom can tell your story. Mary, as his mom, practically, she gave the details, how they went into the inn. You know, only Mary could have told that story. How they went to Elizabeth. Jesus could not have told that story. That in Mary's womb, we now went to Elizabeth. Do you understand? It is Mary who told that story. So, and you could see that she was detailed. Very, very detailed. Now, he's human. He grows as a human being. Okay? Now, pay attention to something. You know that the four gospels, let's pause. I'm going to like scatter everything now, but I believe you will gather it back. Now, imagine if you remove the four gospels and you move from Malachi to Romans. I didn't say Romans, though. Malachi 3 or 4, sorry. And you started with I, Paul. There will be no more confusing book in the world like that kind of book. From Malachi 4, you say I, Paul. An apostle of Jesus Christ. You say, who is Jesus? Right? Who? Who is that? Now, in case you have the Hebrew, you will say, okay, maybe it's Joshua. But you say, Joshua died now. Because their names are similar. So, you will need the four gospels to connect the epistles and the Old Testament. Now, pay attention now. Imagine also, you finish the four gospels, and you started by saying, I, Paul. It's going to be also more confusing. Who is Paul? How? Where did he come from? Then you now say, to the church, in Rome, church in Corinth, what's Corinth? To the church in Galicia, Galicia. To the church in Ephesus. Ephesus. What's Ephesus? But when you read the book of Acts, you will understand it. Right? So the book of Acts gives us a practical eyewitness account of how the church carried out the Great Commission. Whereas the four Gospels gives us an account of God's, the highest demonstration of God's glory through a human being. Now, we know the greatest event in the Bible is in the four Gospels. Am I correct? Come on, talk to me now. Jesus raised from the dead, right? Let's now take something critical from that. Jesus as a man or as God? As a man. So the greatest demonstration of God's power. Now, God had always demonstrated power. He parted the sea, he did this, he did that. But the greatest epochal demonstration of his power was through man, humanity. It reinforces what we said earlier, that God's method is what? Man. If you miss man, you miss God. If you miss man, you will miss God. God's method is man. Who did he commit the gospel to man? I wish I had time. This is not to manipulate the time. I just want to say something. If you look at the Exodus, if they asked you, who led Israel out of Egypt? You will say, Yahweh. You are correct. If you also say Moses, you are still correct. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you say it's God, you are correct. If you say Moses, you are correct. Is it not contradictory? It's not contradictory. It shows that Moses is his method. In fact, in Numbers 27, to see how critical it was, Numbers 27, remember in Exodus, God had told them, I am that I am, I'll be what I'll be, I'll dwell in your camp. He said he will be with them. He said all of that. You see, Exodus 20, that should be 29 and 45. He said that, I'll dwell with you, I'll dwell among you. He kept saying it. But notice something, that his entire work was through a man. His entire work was through a man. Now, is it possible for him to have gone to Egypt and set them free by himself? No, is it possible as God? It's possible now. But he never did it. Not that he could not, but that is not his method. We can actually predict what God does. He called Moses. I know Moses had long thing. He was quite a confused person. Born a Jew, adopted by an Egyptian. Now, raised again back by a Jew. That's dual citizenship. That in the end. So, obviously they told him, you know, you're a Jew. He went back to the house of Pharaoh, which was like a university. Gained all their knowledge. But with the fact that he was a Jew, one day he now saw two Jews. I mean, a Jew and an Hebrew. Sorry, I said Jew. Sorry, I want to say Hebrew. An Hebrew and an Egyptian fighting. And quickly, who? Yamutu, the Egyptian guy. Hey, my brother, that one went. By the next day, he now saw two Hebrews fight. He said, don't fight. He said, don't kill us all like you killed. So, as he said that, he knew the king had heard. He now went to Midian. You know that means he will face rejection in two places. Where he was adopted and where he was raised. So when he got to Midian, and then he saw Jethro's daughters, they were being harassed by some men. Of course, Moses is an attacker. He attacked them, chased them away, and they introduced him to their dad. And they called him an Egyptian. He did not contradict it. Why? Because he didn't send anyone. He didn't even know who he was. So, by 40 years, he had grown up like a Midianite. He knew. So, that was why God had a conflict talking to him. And the Lord God of your father, and he said, somebody you had known before, but after 40 years, he didn't don't go. He said, who would I say sent me? Who am I to go before Pharaoh? You know, he's not joking, though. He had developed an identity crisis. Such that he named his son Geshom, a stranger. And you know, unfortunately, he also was not circumcised. Who would have circumcised him? So that's why Zipporah quickly circumcised the son and him. Because circumcision for the Hebrew was their identification marker. That's how to know you are an Hebrew. Moses never had it. So he had the identity crisis. So he took God. So imagine how God took a while. Something he would have done earlier. He did not have a plan B. He stuck to his plan till Moses was ready. He would have entered Egypt and done, it's God now. Waiting God, know if he do. But that is not his method. And when he now told Moses that you can't, in Numbers 20, and said, look, you dishonored me. You can't tell them. Okay, Moses, no problem. Moses now reminded him, in Numbers 27, he said, now that you say I should not go, who will now lead them? Now, was God absent from them? He was there. Who will now lead them? He said, choose a man over this congregation so that your people will not be as sheep having no shepherd. God's method is man. If you miss man, you miss God. Is it clear? Now, I'm asking again, was God there with them? He was there now. But how come he now chose a human being to lead them? That is his method. Man is God's image. That is his method. Who did he now choose? I said, your boy now. Joshua. He said, his boy. See the method. He still did not leave that Moses. Are you following what I'm saying here? That calling still didn't leave Moses. Such that when he was going to talk to Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. To the end of Joshua's life, he kept saying, as the Lord spoke to Joshua, Moses his servant, so have I done. God does not change his methods. Never forget that. Let me now add one more. In the four Gospels, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, right? Huh? He told the 12. Did he give them his spirit? Huh? He gave them all. But he still chose Peter to lead them. The method doesn't change. I have the Holy Ghost. I don't have a pastor. You actually don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you to a pastor. That is his method. Who's following what I'm saying here? Oh, I have God in me. That's the Holy Ghost in me. The more reason why a man will now lead you. If you miss man, you miss God. You miss God. That is his method. When man failed him in Genesis 11, did he use angels? He still called another man, Abraham, from those same nations. When Noah caused his children and got drunk, who did he use again? A man. When he was going to prepare Egypt ahead for Israel, who did he send? Is the Bible in your hand? Who wrote it? What you call the word of God are actually the words of men. Not be so. That is God's method. The moment you miss man, you miss God. I'm saying that for all of us who are into in Christ realities. If you are not careful, you will miss what I'm saying now. You will miss it. It's all in me. No. There are things that are not in you. God gave it to somebody. It belongs to you. Gave it to somebody so that you will be in relationship with that person to receive it. Relationships are meant to humble us and make us remain human beings. Are you learning something here? So follow this now. Make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 and verse 20. 19 and 20. Now, I said something in the morning. I'll go back again. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus. In fact, the way Luke wrote it, and the way John, Paul himself repeated it again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8 and 9. He made it in the same verbiage, like literally Jesus physically appeared to Paul. But Jesus didn't do anything. He sent an Ananias to go and meet him. You can't miss this. That God's method is man. When Paul was going to be set in ministry, he used the prophets and teachers in Acts 13, 2 and 3. When Jesus himself was going to begin ministry, it's called beginning at John's baptism. Listen carefully. The authentication and validation of the ministry of God as a man was by another man. Paul's ministry had to go. He said, lest I run and I run in vain. Galatians 2:2. I went to the apostles who were before me. God's method is man. Are you here? That's why John will say, how can you say you love a God that you cannot see? 1 John 4, I do not love the man you can see. Because the love you have for God is tied to the love you have for men. Matthew 22, verse 36, they came to Jesus and they asked him, what is that great commandment of the law? What is that great commandment of the law? Mark 12 gave us the intro. Mark 12, 29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. So Matthew 22 and 37, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. You know, if you had stopped there, so God will say, all you need to do is love God. It's your relationship with God that matters. He said, don't go, my guy. There is a second one. It's like the first one. Thou shalt love your neighbor. Someone told me one day, he said, I live on an island. How do I know my neighbor? You can be mischievous. Neighbor is actually the nearest person to you. In technical application, it starts with those in your local assembly. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments, hangeth all the law and the prophets. Go and look at the entire epistles. Two things. Your love for God, your love for people. They cannot be separated. You can't serve God outside of serving men. Serving men is what it means to serve God. Please follow what I'm saying here. Are you getting this? So, if you miss man, you have missed God. Man is God's method. Now, we said that discipleship, therefore, is practical. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go through all that because of time. He gave the Holy Spirit so that they can do the works that he did, right? So we said there is a practical experience to Christian living. There is fruit to Christian living. There are works to Christian living. So, I can measure my growth. I can know whether I am growing or not. I can know. Now, let's speak it from the four Gospels. I want you to pay attention. I'm going to say something that will make some people uncomfortable. So wear your seatbelt. In Mark 3:14, he called the disciples so that they might be with him and preach the gospel. In Acts 4:13, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Right? They had been with Jesus. In Acts 1, 21 and 22, the replacement of Judas was one who was with us. Don't lose this consistency. Who was with us all the time? So I said, some things can never be taught. They can only be caught. So those of you watching us online, find time to come here. Or drag doctor to come to where you are. You can never get the fullness of his ministry online. It cannot happen. That is how God designed it. You can't. There are things he can do online. There are many things he cannot do. Because the work of the Spirit functions by experience and touch. It's experiential. So if I were you, I will organize conferences for him. I'm talking to all online. Every year, you will drag him. It's not the teaching you are looking for. The teaching can be gotten online. It's to be with him. Just follow what I'm saying here. It's not the teaching. You can get this online. But you can get the information. Right? And not get the revelation. So, this is why a man that doesn't go for services but just watches it, he is half-baked. There are things that cannot happen but only when we come together. So you will drag him. You will drag him. Sorry, I'm setting you up. You will drag him and organize a conference. And that conference is not the teaching you are looking for. Don't forget. No, it's not. It is what to see and what to catch. You see, no matter what Paul says, in their limits. Peter of Shakaradim now. Peter said, we were with him on the holy mount. Paul can't say that. We heard the voice. That was why Paul's epistles had to contain Peter's witnesses. He wasn't there now. When you hear Jesus Christ in Paul's epistles, that is the four gospels. The witnesses that were with him. Do you know that what we believe today, that he rose from the dead, is a human witness? Were you there? Because God's method is man. Don't forget this ever. 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 God's method is man. So, listen. Now, let's look at practical things. So, I said the book of Acts will give you the practical things happening in the churches. One thing we know in the book of Acts, for example, was that prayer meeting was consistent. When Jesus told them, you shall receive power, Acts 1:8. Tie the city of Jerusalem, Luke 24:49. Do you know they had enough sense that anytime God gives you an instruction or a commission, it is common sense to just pray. People come to us and say, why are you praying? It's not, you don't need prayer points to pray. You don't need prayer requests to pray. You only need purpose to pray. The moment God gives you a purpose to live for, your prayer life is forever. You can only stay in that purpose by prayer. What was Jesus praying for when John was going to baptize him? Is it for the water to be clean? Why was he praying when he was going to the cross? That is how to stay in the will of God. We have tied prayer to things so much that we have taken away the virility of prayer. Fellowship with God. That is what it is. To stay close to his purpose and plan. Now listen. When he said that to them, Acts 1, 14-15 says, and they continued in supplication. They were smart enough to pray. That is why we know that the day of Pentecost was a prayer meeting. They continued in prayer. Acts 2, 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, it's the verses and chapters that confuse us. They were in one place in one accord. What were they doing before? Prayer. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Can you get that one online? Answer now. On a radio program? No. You have to be physically there. So that was why a Paul, will write letters and he will still go there. In Romans 1:11, he said that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you establish. He said, pray for me that my God will prosper us. Now, this is a church that he wrote arguably Paul's most intelligent letter. The book of Romans is a tough one. You need to unbundle it, but he still needed him physically there. So, I'm telling you, don't miss church. There is no substitute for being here. I'll say it again. There is no substitute for being here now, for being physically present. It doesn't have an alternative. Now, the question is about, we are going to have branches now. Just like power cities all over the world, and it's still going to go in many places all over the world. But we now must find out, what did Paul do? Paul physically, right? Or somebody who was with Paul will go there. What was he going to do there that a letter could not achieve? Because the grace of God is stored in human vessels. That is where it is stored. Let me say something. And I'm saying this because this is like my home. I'm free to talk. Of course, not to say rubbish. Now, it is such that the kind of impact you get in a meeting, you may not even know it until years later. You can't write it in a note. No, you can't. I'm sure those who have joined us in this conference and who come from different parts of the world, they have to sacrifice. And they come for our meetings here. I'm sure they will say, there's something different when I'm physically. I know they will say it. There's something different. Sometimes they can't put it to words. And also when pastor, doctor goes to them, I'm sure they will say, this is different. There's an atmosphere that is very different. Because Christian living comes with atmospheres. And since God's method is men, and he stores those things with men. I mean, look at something as simple as the woman with issue of blood. Jesus was going forward. The woman touched his clothes, and virtue came out of him. Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. And he said, who touched me? So there's some, and that was not the first time, not the second or the third, that there will be a touch. And that same thing is repeated in the book of Acts. You can't miss that. Are you here? So, we must never get comfortable with half a loaf. This is what I tell them in church in Lagos. I say, you see those people that traveled far and came for this meeting. They are going to get more than those of you who are here. That's just how it works. They have paid a price. All the way. Some of them, for example, any of us who are here today, who came from outside New York, you must have left your job, left your family. Those of us in New York, we are coming in the evening. In the morning, you go back to work. Those of them who came from Lagos or out of New York, they can't go back anywhere. There is no way something greater will not rub off on them. Sorry, yo, I'm not blaming you for being in New York. But that is just how it works. We must pay the price of commitment, consecration, and dedication. That's why never get familiar. Don't. Don't get familiar. Don't. Treat every service like the first one. I remember years ago, I used to share this story. I went to preach in Ado Ekiti. My wife was there. In fact, I shared this story when I was preaching for their church just a few days ago. She was there present. So just about the evening of the meeting, it was a Saturday, I just had a vision. And I saw a guy who walked into the auditorium. It was a very dark lit room. So he came. I was about to preach, so he just came. I saw the shirt he wore. He sat to the right. The Lord just showed me that vision. And I began to preach. He just saying, yeah, glory, hallelujah. Hey, it was in that vision. He responded that way. And the Lord told me something that I was meant to tell him. The Lord told me that he was going to leave just about the time I was going to tell him. I saw that in that vision. I told the pastor somehow, but I was disturbed. Of course, when you know that, God has also told you not to say it until that time. So I was there, and as I started preaching, I remember I was preaching from Hebrews 2:4. He came in, I saw the I was stunned, eh? And he got in, and I said, yeah, come on, preach, hey. Or I said, let's get up. He walked out. Why did God show me that? To show how people miss out. That's all. Maybe he planned to go somewhere. He planned to go somewhere. You know, so he has selected the part of the meeting he was going to be at. You can't choose for God. I always see that vision every time. That is, I remember it. You can't choose for God. There is an honor we must have for physical assembly that we can't give elsewhere. I dare say, there's no gift of God working in my life today that I did not discover in a meeting. There's none. I traveled for a meeting. And then when I was going for that meeting, I used to go for that meeting every year. So this time around, I flew from church. After service. So I flew to the United Kingdom and I was tired. So I told myself, look, I'm tired. I'm not going for the first session. You know, when you make up your mind, I am not going for the first session because I am tired. I will buy the CD. I was convincing myself, you know? And I told myself, after all, I just preached 2 services. I talked to workers. I'm tired now. I should be tired. Should I not be tired? So let me just go. Something I would not have said years before. I'd become familiar so I could be giving excuses. Me that I used to travel across to go for a meeting to be blessed. That we will walk. I went for one conference and went to they misled me. I went to the border. By the time they told me where the venue was, I had to walk for about 4 hours to get to the venue. And I was praying in tongues before I got there. As I got there, the man of God preaching just called out the name of our ministry. And I came on. As I got in. So I've seen that. I was in a meeting in Lateran in 1994, August. Lord Statue came to Nigeria. It was the last time he came. And I squeezed myself into that meeting. I walked my way in. I was fasting throughout the meeting. And he gave a call. I was the only one he called out. And he began to prophesy. And he said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, I have a Walkman already. I'm recording it. I came there prepared. Now the same me years down the line, I'm saying I'm tired. You know, that's plowing. That's familiarity with the things of God. So I told myself, I'm tired. You know, as I just came down the plane, and I told myself, when you flew all the way to first of all come and sleep, who is doing you? How can you go all the way? And the first activity was... There is no greater demon possession. So I reluctantly went for the meeting with my bag. You know, I was like, well, I have to go. So I dropped my bag in the lobby. As I got in, it was less than 5 minutes. The person preaching was about 11 a.m. Said there's a pastor from Nigeria. It was just the same experience. As I walked there, 2 of us now showed up. I said, the woman of God said no. I didn't say a Nigerian pastor. The one who came from Nigeria, and I was the one. Now, I would have been in my hotel room, dozing. I'll buy the CD. Can the CD give me that? Are you here? So the grace of God is stored in human vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. It's in human vessels. Ephesians says, jars of clay. So, if you miss man, when you come together, it looks like we're just men. I mean, it's Pastor, it's Dr. Damina that is preaching. Let me ask you first. Let me say another thing. Do you know that as you are seated here now, you are not listening for yourself alone? Do you know why he's our pastor today? He's pastor of this church today because years ago, he was listening for you before he met you. That is how it works. When the apostles were going from place to place, they were being corrected. Who were they doing it for? For Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So don't fail those who are relying on you. I beg. Don't disappoint them. Don't doze off. Don't walk away. There are lives of people tied to this activity that you are doing right now. Who's following what I'm saying this evening? Don't waste this opportunity. If I had walked away, who knows? You can't tell. And there's not always a second opportunity. Don't bet on it. Esau came back and said, don't you have another blessing? Father said, there are none. And the writer of Hebrews said he sought for repentance. No, he was not the one repenting, though. He wanted the father to change his mind. He said he didn't find any. There are sometimes all you can get is second best. That's all you can get. When God went with Israel, and then they went to the idolatry in Exodus 33, 32. In 33, he now said, I'll give an angel to follow you. Ah! Moses said, don't do that. He said, Lord, let your presence go with us. That means that was second best. And there are some errors we can make, and that's all you are going to get. There was one person who came to me for counseling. And it was about ministry. She was struggling. She was married to a non-believer. All that. It was a very long story. So as she was talking, I said, oh, did you attend this school? You know, to know how carnal she was. She said, oh, yeah. I said, is it the school you attended? She now said, were you in that school too? So you know that that's a carnal person. She didn't expect a man of God to have a vision. She has entered carnality, therefore. So I said, one day you were in your room. I mentioned the hall. I said, there were four people. She said, that room, you used to come to the hostel. Can you imagine? Very carnal. She don't, that you say, OT law. She was gone. So I said, there was one of you who had pulled her. Then she snapped out of it. She said, wow. I said, yeah, it's true, it happens. So she knew it was a word of knowledge. I said, that day you were all mocking pastors. You were an escort of a fellowship, you were mocking pastors, and you said, that's why I will never ever marry any spirit. I don't want to marry any spirit. Ooh, I don't want to marry any spirit. I just want to have my husband to myself. I don't want to, look, I don't want, look, it's what I want, I'm going to marry. I have my own dream, man. You know that? I said, that's exactly what you got. I said, the other ones are not going to get those things because they were not exposed to your life. There was a Muslim, a non-believer, and a serious Christian. You were an escort. That is why you have what you have today. She now said, what can we do? Of course, as a pastor, you have to have different operations. There's outpatient, there's inpatient, there's ICU, sometimes there's mortuary. So, you know, that's just the reality. There's nothing, it's not everything you can change. But I just told her, let's just pray about it. We just trust God. And I said, let's go. There's nothing you can do. You have already married an unbeliever. Do you understand? You have not even changed you. You want to change someone else. Unchangeable changer. Do you understand? Just irreverence. Irreverence to meetings can cost you. Lateness. Using your phone in the service. Chatting in the service. When the glory of God is here. You think it's a man ministering? No. God's method is man. If you miss men, don't forget, you miss God. Who's learning something this evening? So, discipleship is practical. You have to be available. Why? Not just to be taught. There are things that will rub off on you. See how Peter slept in trouble. Do you think he was taught? You just not do a series. Alright, when you are in trouble, number one, sleep. Number two, dream. Number four, those. There was no false teaching. But just by being around Jesus, something rubbed off on him. When he was in trouble, he slept. Something had rubbed off on him. When they heard them preach, something had happened. Something vital, substantial had happened to them. You could see it. We said he gave us the Holy Spirit to take us from our theology, from experience, sorry, from information to what? Everyday experience. So, what are the crucial things? Look at it. Look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts will show you how they carried out the Great Commission. Did you notice that they were always gathering? Did you notice that? Always gathering. The 120 were in one place. They stayed in one place. Actually, Acts 1:14 to 15, it was a camp. When God was about to do something new, they went to a camp. Some say God is everywhere. That's how you are like that. You are also everywhere. That's stupid. That's unwise. They camped in a place. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, were they in the camp? Huh? In one place. In one accord. In one place, in one accord. There are things to be taught, and there are things to be taught. Don't forget this. And you don't catch them in your room. You have to come here. This is where it is happening. This is where it's happening. And it continued like that. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers, and fellowship. Right? Good. They continued. And they came together daily. Why? Because that is how to be disciples. They came daily. By Acts 3:1, Peter and John were going for a meeting, right? At the hour of prayer. So they had prayer meetings. Right? By Acts 4, when they were threatened, they went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said. Acts 4:23 and 24. And they lifted up their voice in one accord and prayed. Is too consistent to miss it. The place where they were gathered together, Acts 4:31, was shaken together, 30 and 31, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. So I'm going to use two examples. I'll start today, continue tomorrow. Two examples. Do you know that by Acts 1, Peter was the only one talking. Acts 2:16-17, Peter and the apostles. Acts 2:42, the apostles. Acts 4:31-34, the apostles. Acts 5:42 is a bit tricky, house to house and publicly, maybe temple, maybe the apostles, but in Acts 6, something now happened. There was now, it says in Acts 6:1, the number of disciples had multiplied. There was now murmuring among the Grecians about the neglect of widows, smell of food and all that. So they were all arguing. And verse 2, they came to the apostles and brought that matter. And Peter said, the apostles said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Pay attention. Look among you. Among who? Disciples. Those who come for meetings. Prayer meetings. Are you here? Workers meetings. School of ministry. discipleship meetings, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, Acts 6 and 3, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, which of these characteristics should a believer not have? Should every believer be filled with the Holy Ghost? Wisdom and an honest report, good report. So this just shows the seven they chose are the examples of disciples. So discipleship and fruit is something we can see. They are full of the Holy Ghost. They know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 4, we give ourselves continually to prayer in the midst of the word. Now, seven were chosen. We had two, Philip and Stephen. Now, pay attention to something that happened. They laid hands on them, Acts 6 and 6, you know, and put them forth. Acts 6, 7 now says, the number of, now pay attention, pause to what I'm about to say here. The number of disciples multiplied, such that many priests were obedient to the faith. That was tied to increase of ministry. Now, verse 8 now says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did many miracles amongst people. That's the first time somebody will be said to do miracles outside the apostles. Now, what was it about him? He was the example of a disciple. Was he now reproducing Peter and the 12? Just like they reproduced Jesus. But look at two key things about Stephen. He was amongst, right? What else? Hands were laid on him. So in the two instances that we pointed out, is contact there? Atmospheres? Yeah. Now, he now went and preached in the synagogue. And he confronted the elders and preached. If you notice, there are two major sermons in the book of Acts. His own and Paul. But his own was longer. His own was an entire chapter. Now pay attention. That's a disciple. You could see that his sermon will still use it. Why? He had learnt it. He had learnt doctrine. Right? So, a disciple will reproduce the teaching ministry. They are learned. The person preaching is a deacon. Now, deacon, I don't know what we use for in these days. Deacon simply means a pastor in training. That's what it is. It's not somebody who handles food and all those things. No. It's a pastor in training. That is, when Paul wrote about it, he said that he will purchase a greater degree. It's a proven office. So, these guys were being proven. Look at what happened. He steps out and he's preaching. And you see that he was astute with the scriptures. He knew the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. Disciple. Acts 7:55. In fact, 53 says as he preached, 51-53, say when it says that you are stiff-necked, he says the people's heart was caught. The Holy Ghost caught their heart. So he was a guy who was preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost. Something similar to Jesus and the 12. Then, in 54 and 55, he being full of the Spirit, lifted up his eyes toward heaven. And he said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Ah, full of the Holy Ghost. Right? What do we see now? There was miracles, Acts 6, 8. Now visions and revelations. Are you here? as they made to stone him and kill him, what did he say? Father, lay not this charge against them. He said the exact words of Jesus. Even though it's not likely he was there, but the teaching and the practice had rubbed off on him. He knew the response to give. Discipleship. It was a sermon that Saul of Tarsus heard. And Luke penned it that way. Who's following what I'm saying here? In case you missed that one, in Acts 8, when the apostles, when there was persecution, and people japa, the apostles did not japa. Apostles don't japa. Amen. Up of Jesus. That's for another day. They stayed. They didn't run. The disciples all fled. But where they went, Acts 8:4, they didn't say, ah, God saved us from those people. That's Saul of Tarsus. They went everywhere to preach the word. Because if they are run away and gone to change their citizenship, they are not disciples. They went everywhere preaching the word. One of them was now picked out. Who was one of the seven? Philip. Went down to Samaria and preached Christ. What happened again? Miracles. Who's following this? Can you see? So what is being multiplied? Ministry is being multiplied as discipleship is being made. Now, something a bit, shall I say, uncertain now happens. Where Acts 8:14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that, or received word, or heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent down Peter and John so that they might come and pray for them and they will receive the Holy Ghost. So it appeared like Philip did not minister the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Well, that is the fact that is there. Of course, they did, they laid hands, people, you know, and all that. So you may be like, oh, maybe that's a ministry for the 12. Luke is playing with your mind. By the second chapter, the chapter afterwards, Acts 9. Who did Jesus appear to in Acts 9, 10 to 11? A certain disciple called Ananias. He's not a pastor. He's a believer in membership class. A member of a house fellowship. But is he committed? Always available? Ananias. Now, Ananias. If he had said, Ananias, if he was not used to visions, he would have said, Ananias, what's it be that? Hey-o. Somebody will come and ask you, I don't know who was talking to me. Is he God? Is he the devil? Why you won't come to church? I was hearing two voices. One will say, go. One will say, come. Pastor, who is talking to me? I say, it's the devil. And Ananias was established enough to say, yes, Lord, talk. A disciple is given to the things of the Spirit. He had enough temerity to argue with Jesus. Now he gets liver. That means he's used to those things. Disciples walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, notice, what did he go to the house of Saul to do? He went to lay hands on him that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, in case you thought that it's only the apostles that could do it, you could see a disciple. Not even one of the deacons. So what else can a disciple do? He gets men, is given to visions and revelations. Why? Because he's around people that see it. He's around them. They've laid hands on him. He's around where it happens. Ananias. full of the Spirit, laid hands on Saul. Even Saul of Tarsus, he got born again and couldn't see. For 3 days and three nights, he knew to fast. But he was seeing a vision. His first day in Christ. Amen. So, we have seen two examples of disciples. Critical, number one, were they well taught? Could they reproduce the teaching of those teaching them? Could they reproduce their character? Could they reproduce the work of the gifts of the Spirit? Yeah. Until this is done, discipleship hasn't happened. The character, the ministry, and the operations of the things of that pertain to the Holy Ghost. How close tonight, trusting God to conclude this tomorrow in a way. And I believe God for something. And I'm going to tell you. I sense that we need to harness more from our man of God like ever before. You know, we need to step away from familiarity and step into a greater degree of what God wants to do through us. You see, impartation need not just be laying on of hands. Sometimes it's just being around the man or woman of God. And things will naturally rub off on you. Imagine if you came for a meeting and you were fasting. And say, Lord, as I go for Sunday service, as my man of God, as my man of God. See, don't let anybody harass you for calling your pastor papa. Call your own guy. Right? Don't say, are you calling my papa? Don't call anybody papa. Okay, call your own pastor guy, my guy. It's not a problem, no. The way you call a man of God is also very important. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't allow the world to blackmail you. Now, you see, as I go for the service, Lord, I believe for stirrings. Imagine if you pray 2 hours. Do you know that if pastor, doctor is not planning even to minister in a way, you will draw him to minister that way. I was somewhere, I had prepared my heart that I was not going to lay hands on anybody. I said it, I wasn't going to lay hands. So, and I didn't lay hands. But I was with somebody. I was just putting my hands on the person I was talking. I said, the power of God is here. Unknown to me, the person had a paralysis. And I said, he's going to lay hands on me. I spent hours saying it, and I did. Just like the woman in Mark 5. You know, we can harness more things. Let's step beyond just listening to teachings and reading the books. There are things to catch, and they're available here. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Did you hear something? Did you hear something? Are you sure you did? I want you to stir something up in your heart. We have things to catch.